for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
On a feed of the beard 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 here and declare your independence of me, Ernest Hancock. Ooh, bring me down. Damn. That was loud. You know, we're talking with James Corbett, CorbettReport.com, CorbettReport.com. Now, there has been a lot of things that he and I have, you know, talked about and discussed that be a coming, and we took last week off, and I got several emails, you know, wanting us to discuss things last week, and now it's this week, and are they, you know, pertinent anymore? Well, of course, we got fronts on Neuralink and another one that James is talking about. They're going to get plugged into our brain because they want to get plugged into our brain. And we have the petrodollars getting ready to go bye-bye. We have a lot of currency stuff going on. We'll see what happens there. Food is going to definitely be it. You know, we keep saying, yeah, it's a food thing. Well, here we go. I'm at the campground. It doesn't start till this weekend. At the campground for Midfest, which is Spavinaw, Oklahoma. One of the big motivations to come here is I just left Mike Swatek. You know, he's one of the great activists on a lot of different fronts. And one of the things that he's doing is building an aircrete geodesic home. Well, it's not geodesic. It's just a dome from making aircrete big giant blocks and cutting them in to like 13-inch blocks. And he's got the foundation done. They got a lot of infrastructure done, and they're ready to start stacking and mortaring blocks. And tomorrow I'm going to go over and help build the door arches, you know, for them to do that. And I went over and got the full tour from Mike. It's way better than I thought it was going to be. Because I've been doing, you know, a lot of the test things, and they're kind of inconsistent. Once you get, you know, a little bit bigger, those inconsistencies don't matter. And you just saw it with a wood handsaw. I mean, the thing, they just go really fast. And it looks like he's going to have a really nice home for his sister, you know, here by the end of the summer. When we get done here, we go to Texas for Float Fest. There's a lot of stuff going on there. Tomorrow I do a show with Sam Tripoli, you know, Tinfoil Hat Podcast. We're going to be talking a lot about, you know, their willingness. They want to be like James. They want to be all IPFS'd up and so on. So we're going to be talking about that. I just got this last week, Thomas sent, you know, you see the ads all over Freedom's Phoenix for the pirate boxes. Well, they have also pirate sticks, and these are SSD, you know, 3.0 USB kind of, you know, I just plug it into any computer and boom, it works. And I got to boot up to my HP Microsucks Windows 10, and now I got to start playing with it. And Thomas is right over there, so I'm going to say, hey, yo, Thomas, what's up? You know, help me out here. So we're going to be going, you know, through the use of this and see if we can get it to ready boot up faster. And because you have to have it set up to boot from a USB drive, and so we'll work on that. There's a lot of things going on with the United Kingdom and the teenagers there that have created their own infrastructure for homeschooling. There's another group that started building old barns and vacant buildings into a hacker space for co-ops for homeschooling. They want to play. Matt Hill, from the CEO of Start 9 with the Embassy Raspberries, that they're doing, making, you know, pirate boxes and doing different things with having your own private servers and so on. He's personally taking care of that. He's going, this is why I built the box. It was exactly for this, all over it, they're building infrastructure for homeschoolers in the United Kingdom, which means what? Everybody else, because, you know, that's the way it goes. Then after this, we go down to Float Fest. We've been spending time with Kingsley and Aaron. They're ready. They've launched a 1.0. They've been in beta of Float, and it's a social media. We're working with Matt Raymer from ContentSafe.co. It's interfacing with the storage of the IPFS files, and so that we can get off of this grid. As time goes on, it becomes more and more imperative that we understand how everything is going to go away. And it's already happening. And I had Zach Voorhees on the show end of last week. And he was the Google whistleblower that came out and said all the stuff that they're doing. And what he created is called Blast.video. And it's like a Drudge Report for video. You know, it's an aggregation, but he doesn't store anything. It's just a link, or it has a thumbnail, and it goes offline. But it's all the people that are being, you know, shadow banned and deplatformed and all that kind of stuff. But when he does all these ones that are on YouTube, I know it's going to happen. He just has the link. They're just going to get, you know, undone. Like the all over Freedom's Phoenix, I got all these that I have to start replacing with other stuff. So the communication of all the things, the housing, the communication, the news aggregation, all the research that James does. I've been watching a lot of his videos of late as him on other shows, you know, getting the hoi polloi all, you know, informized up, you know, edumacated and everything. And I'm seeing that there's a lot of very, very important issues that are telltale of what's coming. And that's what I want to talk to James about today, because we took last week off and a lot of things happened. One of the things is them going direct into our brain. And James wanted to talk about something that, you know, starting to scare him a little bit there, and not even Neuralink. So let's go ahead and start off with that, James. Oh, you're muted.
How about I unmute myself before I start talking?
Yourself. All right, go.
I'm an old pro at this. Don't worry, Ernie. Okay, so the latest from the news wires from the Daily Beast. That wonderful source of truthiness. This new implant hacks the brain by going through your chest. And it's talking about something called Synchron, or a company called Synchron, which has announced the results of a trial that it's been running on people with amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, ALS, because they care about helping poor crippled people type. Of course, that's what it's always about, right? Yeah. And so they've been doing this test. It was the first time the US FDA had approved a brain-computer interface for clinical trials.
Hey, ALS,
and the results of their trials were, it's a startling success, insofar as what, how did they phrase it? No one suffered death or serious adverse event. No serious adverse events led to disability or death during the trial. Therefore, it was a success. No one died or got crippled as a result of this.
Now, ALS, I mean, when you're talking ALS, that's Lou Gehrig, right?
That's right. Yeah. Okay, right. So, of course, that's the way they frame it. And of course, it's always 1000% the brain chips are going to be rolled out of. Oh, but you want crippled people to be able to type, right? That's exactly the way, and I've made fun of that propaganda tactic the whole time, because of course that is the way it's going to be introduced. But even within this article itself, they go out of their way to make the point about how what this is about is the rollout for brain chip interface technology on the broader scale, and how do you sell this to the public? And they start getting into the, you know, the advertising PR side of this, and they talk about how one of the ickiness factors associated with this is that our damn skulls are too thick to penetrate with radio waves or, you know, regular types of communication technology. That's why, excuse me?
You gotta stick an antenna in you.
Exactly. That's why they have to bore a little hole in your skull and stick things in there, and no one wants that, right? So this new Synchron company comes along, and their idea is, no, we put the hole in your chest and run a wire up into your brain, and it'll transmit from your chest. So it's less invasive, guys, and it'll be easier to sell to the public.
Okay, now, wait. How are they running this wire into your brain? Is it through a blood vessel, or are they, you know, laying pipe or what?
The solution to the hole-in-the-head problem came by way of cardiac medicine. It's becoming more common for heart surgeons to treat blockages without operating anywhere near the heart or making any big incisions at all. Instead, they make a small cut in the groin or wrist and insert a collapsed mesh tube, potentially just a few centimeters in length, into an artery. This stent acts like scaffolding. Expanded electrically, a stent lodges in a blood vessel near the heart where it keeps blood flowing past a blockage. So then apparently they're going in through the chest in order to get up into the brain.
Oh, okay. Now I was distracted while I was moving this here. Is it going through a blood vessel or no?
Yes.
Okay, so they're going straight in, up in. I guess if they follow a blood vessel to your brain, they can bypass whatever blood brain, any barrier, if there is no barrier, you know?
Yes.
So they're going straight into the brain. And they're to help ALS patients read. That's it, right?
Right. Well, yeah, exactly. And as I say, the entire article goes on to essentially be talking about how best to market this to the broader public, because of course it is not about ALS patients. It is about how will we introduce this to the broader public. And so their entire thing is about how to make this essentially more acceptable. And they think at the very least, this is slightly more acceptable than drilling holes in your head. So it's a step in the right direction. But the next phase of their next trial is going to be focused on getting more efficiency in the connection. Because at this point, apparently, they couldn't get much of a connection going. It wouldn't do that much. But the next iteration of this is going to be more effective at getting your brain waves and your thoughts out into the computer.
Okay. Now, we could spend a lot of time on this, but I definitely want to talk about this a little bit without, you know, getting too, we hate Elon. All right. Now, what they have is a mechanism by which you can interface with a computer. If you were Elon, you knew the guys that were doing this, you understood the science, they're going to do it. You're seeing how much they're curtailing free speech and everything with social media and whatever anyway. You know that they're going to be doing metaverse and interface and plug you into your Facebook account if I got a plug in the back of my head phone thing, you know. You see this coming. You understand how bad this is going to be. Is it possible in your mind that Elon looked at Neuralink as the only way to combat what they're doing, to bypass, to improve, or is he just another conduit into your brain?
No. No, it is not.
Okay, so you're...
No, I wonder what it is, Ernie, that you rightly see through politicians, but you believe Elon Musk is somehow actually a self-made billionaire. you know where he gets his money, right? It's from the government. I trust nothing the government says, but Elon Musk is on the level. Elon Musk is a puppet. He runs nothing. He decides nothing that is not told to him by his DOD handlers. And if you think he is some sort of actual, what he thinks or believes matters at all, then I don't think you understand how this world works.
Yeah, I look at, all right, let me give you a stream of consciousness. As you look at history and you see what has always happened, what always changed, you know, good, bad, it's always been an individual. Everybody keeps saying, oh, you didn't build that alone. Yeah, but without key people, certain things do not happen. They go another generation, they'll wait for the next guy. You know, the next gal. They're like, well, the team at 3M did, and IBM. I go, no, it wasn't. There was a guy. There's always a guy. Even with IPFS stuff, all you got to do is find the guy. There's always a guy. Everybody will tell you how you can't. Everybody will say that it's forever and always, and that's not how, and it'll never happen until the guy or gal, okay? So I'm going, as you look as a kid and inspired by space, and we're going to space and supposed to have, you know, 2001 Space Odyssey was in the late 60s. I'm like, what the hell? I mean, if you can imagine it, here it comes. As time goes on, you get movies in the mid-90s like The Matrix, where they're going, Yeah, the one. There's always the one. You got to have like, you know, 4, 5, 6 billion people before you find the one. And there could be, I don't know, a few hundred of them, but you always got, you know, they were happen to be born in the mountains of Pakistan, or they happen to be, you know, under a repressive regime in China, or they happen. And sooner or later, there's always a person, an individual wearing barefoot in a robe or whatever that has a big influence on people, because there's always somebody with the resource, somebody with the vision, somebody with the plan, somebody that has empathy for humanity, themselves, their community, their friend, or something. To think that that never happens is to be inaccurate. That is how it always happens. When you look for, okay, I want to see signs of this, where are we going to get somebody with the resources and the mind that can actually do some good things? And they're motivated that way. And they're not, you know. So I see Elon, I'm not ready to sign him off yet. Now, that doesn't mean when everybody goes, yeah, but he made money from this subsidy and that thing and that thing. I never heard him advocate for it. I never heard he's like always saying, do away with all the subsidies and, you know, we'll be fine. You know, this, you know, have it, all the energy compete. He has not been advocating for all of the solar electric car stuff. That is not, he's saying, you want to play on a level playing field, take away all the subsidies from the petroleum and let's rock. So you're saying that's not so.
Can I see the clip of him saying, please take away my subsidies, government?
If I found it, would it make a difference?
Yes, it would, actually.
All right.
Please show it to me. I'd be very interested to at least see that.
Yeah, you know, I think I, you know, have it on free.
Let's do it. I'd be so fine if Tesla wasn't literally built by U.S. government grants. I'd be totally fine if Starlink wasn't literally a DOD adjunct. Nah.
Yeah.
Nah, not buying
I'm,
it.
I'm
it's
not...
like a politician. It's like you're falling for a politician. It's so bizarre.
He's a good guy.
He says funny stuff on Twitter.
I haven't got a bad vibe from him. I'm wondering
I got a bad vibe from him.
I mean, Neuralink, I'm not like a big fan. I'm not first in line on that one. But, you know, for him to make the argument that it's coming and you're not going to have a chance, and this is what he feels is the best path for him to defend against, and I'm going, do I want him to do it or not?
No. It's so bizarre to me that you would be on board with this. You'd be against government, but you'd be for the people who suck off the government's teat and then use that for their own private benefit. It's so weird to me.
Well, you know, my thing is that I'm going, I can see, do entrepreneurs, freedom-oriented entrepreneurs, they put a program in there, not really for Tesla. I mean, this wasn't created for Tesla. This is an Obama thing, Solyndra, whatever the hell thing back in the day of how they're going to do whatever. And I think a lot of his has already been used up. You only get so many cars, you know, and his has been used up or close, or they had to extend it or something. But let's go ahead and do that. You know, let's just ask that question, seeing as how, you know, you're laughing at me. All right. So we'll go in. Elon Musk argues against subsidies. Assuming I spelled most of that right. Elon diatribe against subsidies. Elon Musk diatribe against subsidies ignores the history of the tech, whatever. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, now what is the date on this? January 7, 20. So this is over a year ago. United States, we tend to listen with rapt attention to the wisdom of people. That's a monster series. It would be better, honestly, if the bill doesn't pass, because our spending is so far in excess of revenue, it's insane. Seemingly selfless, he explained that he didn't want any subsidies for himself or his flagship company, Tesla. Neither for charging stations nor cars. I'm literally saying get rid of all subsidies. Because I remember him saying this. He was saying get rid of them all for oil, get rid of them for nuclear, get rid of it and let it all, you know, rest on its own. And he was arguing against the subsidy. In fact, he was lobbying against the bill, Biden's bill. I don't know. So that doesn't count.
I'm converted. You're right. Elon Musk is a good guy.
Neuralink's
kind of
that.
kind of an icky idea, but I'll go along with it because Musk is kind of cool. I just don't get it. I do not understand it.
Because I don't know anybody else that's arguing against the subsidies that they're so.
How about the people who don't take them? You don't hear about them because they're not billionaires. It's just, I can't believe this argument.
All right. Well, I'm not ready to throw him under the bus. There's a lot of.
I am.
Cool
100%.
Stuff.
I would throw him under the bus tomorrow.
Well, that's,
yesterday.
You know, James and I don't disagree on a lot of things. And I'm certainly, definitely lean against anybody, with the same kind of position. And I'm not a fan of Neuralink idea, but. You have to understand from my perspective, the age that I'm at, these were things that were promised to me. The Jets and future of all this is the promise that I got. And then they've just taken it away. They said, no, it's not possible. And somebody does it. I'm like, right on. Well, he said, let's go kick ass. And it be an American company. And it be worldwide. And it changed an entire industry. And we're starting to get electric pickup trucks. And I see the future as very abundant, and it's going to come from the attitudes and the people like this to be able to give us these opportunities that we can take advantage of as individuals. Then I know you're probably not a big Russell Brand fan, and I wouldn't say I am either, but he has really had a really good tact of how he and his supporters are opening up the discussion. The same way that Joe Rogan did. And I have been so under a lot of stress, probably as James has. God, man, I got to do this. Somebody's got to do something. Somebody's got to expose this. Somebody's got to inspire somebody. And now I'm seeing a lot of somebodies. And I'm wondering where the line is for you that whatever they're doing should be discarded or rebelled against based on they take. Government subsidies is always a good measure. I mean, but what are you looking for? Who inspires you? Is there anybody?
People who are not building brain chips and leading us into the transhuman future would be probably a basic criteria for me. Whatever, Russell Brand, if people get their news from him, then they get their news from him. I don't care. I'm not going to tell people what to do or not to do. I don't get my news from Russell Brand, so... I just don't care what he thinks about anything. But if people get their news from him, that's fine. I'm not here to dictate where or how or in what way people live their lives or how they get their news or any of that stuff. It's just, for me personally, it's just not my thing.
It's not that. It's that, what is and is not taboo to talk about. These guys are talking about things that nobody else would be for because of the pressure on social media, on journalism in general. And I'm just
okay, I get what you're saying, but you're saying that from the perspective of, well, Russell Brand has said this amazing thing that's so far outside the paradigm, whereas you and I have been talking about it for decades. Do we venerate and put these people on a pedestal because they're superstars? Woo! I don't care about that.
That's
I am
not
so
my point.
Done with that.
My
Who
thing,
cares?
I'm hoping the audience gets this from, a lot of the other shows I've done, certainly of late. Is that I am very encouraged by the shift in the discussion. What was and was not discussed, what was allowed to be discussed, the support that you have in subscription, levels for different people that wouldn't even had a platform a decade ago. Now they have it, and they're getting big support for taking certain positions that they are. So when I see stuff like, Ben Shapiro or even Jordan Peterson or a lot of these guys coming out, I'm going, wow, they're creating, what's his name? Is it Shapiro? I think it's Shapiro. And creating an entire network in competition with Disney, a family value kind of, I can watch it with my 6-year-old grandson television that they're not going to be trotting out, Teletubby purple hair people. Somewhere I got to have some kind of, an opportunity to not be deluged with all this crap. And when I see it, I'm going, yeah, cool. One less thing I got to do. it's a barometer of society pushing back against a lot of the stuff that we've been subjected to so hard for years now. And
for me, it's just setting the new boundaries around the acceptable discourse. Let's ask Ben Shapiro about 9/11, shall we?
Right. Well, this is what
we talk about. It's not unvarnished truth, and most people aren't looking for that. They're just looking for the escape valve. It's a steam valve.
See, I understand exactly what you're saying, and this is when, you know, Don and I had a conversation a couple of weeks ago about Tucker Carlson going on about something, Ukraine, whatever, and I go, it's easier to understand when you can understand that these guys create the platform, the boundaries, the field on which you're able to talk. And they'll say some of the things on your end of the field and maybe even score a point. Woohoo, got a touchdown on that. But they're still on the field. And they're
exactly
using their
right.
rules.
You know,
their
I had
rep,
this thought. I was listening
PR.
To one of your recent Trump reports, and I was listening to you and Dr. Frank going at it. And the analogy came to me that it's like, it's when Dr. Frank is talking about, you know, the Republicans and Democrats and things that are happening, it's kind of like he's watching the sports team game, right? And he's go blue sports team, go red sports team, whatever, whichever team you choose, and you're rooting for it. And you kind of want to say to him, you know, you can cheer for whoever you want. It doesn't affect the game at all. But actually, that's the wrong analogy, because someone in that mindset is going to be like, well, so you're telling me I should get on the field and start playing? And I'm like, no, the entire game, the entire field, the entire spectacle, this place has been created to distract you. This is the distraction. You got to leave the game and go do something else outside of this game. That's what the actual solution is. But they want you just concentrating on the game.
Yeah, I'm becoming, in this discussion, I'm James's Frank, you know. Yeah, Ernie's going down the dark side, man. He's, you know, like playing the game. You know, from my perspective as an activist for a long time, it was over a decade or more, 15 years, just trying to convince people that there was a problem, you know, that these certain policies, these philosophies are going to, as time goes on, it's going to get bad. And when I see people pushing back, not taking the vaccine, cheering when the pilot comes on and says, oh, the vaccine mandate is done. Woohoo! And the, you know, flight attendants break out in the song where a minute
the mask mandate, not the vaccine mandate.
Right, the mask mandate. Right. You know, the minute before they were ready to punch in the face if you didn't have it on, you know. It's, you know, all these things are good signs. They're signs that there is a glimmer, you know, in the people's minds that they still what they do and do not openly or even privately support. So I'm going, wow.
See,
man.
That's what excites me, is actual people, real people, normal people in the real world resisting and not complying. That excites me. These celebrities doing their things and, ooh, look at what he said. Oh, yay. Oh, he just said something cool on Twitter. Nonsense, garbage. That is not the real world. The real world are the people that you will never see, because they do not have a platform for millions of people who are standing up day by day, willing to lose their jobs or whatever it is because they're not going to mask up and take the vaccine.
Well, they're saying this because, I didn't even have the video on for you. They're saying this because they're allowed to, or it's supported, or it's popular, or they get the barometer. You know, we had, we had a story last night. What was that big story that just blew up the site, like half, Donna? It was, Steve Quayle put onto the site. What was that story about? Yeah, go find out, will you please? So.
Oh, you mean the fire on the Azure Standard?
Azure Standard is a organic grower in Oregon. And we had gone up there and done a few days. They gave us a tour on how they supply. And what they do is they put up a big giant pallet of something, and they'll take that pallet and ship it to a neighbor, and you go and get your stuff out of her garage, you know, but it's all fresh produce, organic, no GMO kind of crap, right? So we went there and got the full tour. Great people. Their administrative building burned down just a couple of days ago. And they don't know why or what, just, you know, all of a sudden it just, boom. Well, they go, well, we're not going to be out of anything. We might be short on this and back order that, but we got back up and we got y'all covered. And what was amazing to me is it was over half my traffic for over a day, day and a half. And it was just, I go, what the hell just happened? This one story. Now, Steve Quayle linked, you know, to Freeman's Phoenix, so that, you know, has something to do with it. But, you know, the big thing was, is that it was the issue. It was, here is a farmer, a distributor of quality, good food and products that are healthy, cosmetics, and, you know, that's their whole thing. And for it to get that much attention, I was encouraged. I'm going, well, cool. Did you send them an email, Donna? Did you took contact and said, we said, yo, what's up, and everything?
Yeah, they were super busy, and just, it was an automatic response email.
Okay, yeah, they're just super busy and automatic response email. But it's those kinds of stories, James. When I see, like when I'm over at Mike's, you know, just this afternoon on the aircrete that he's doing and building the dome, he's got the foundation. I'll send you some pictures, you know. I am thoroughly impressed with this technology now. And he goes, the guys that came and poured the foundations and so on, they keep coming back. They're going, hey, man, we want to see how you're doing it. They're like, woo, using concrete to it. Man, this is awesome. You know, so I feel very encouraged. But it's going to be the people that will use the government to try and stop this kind of solution that the people have that are coming back. Who are those guys going to be? And the Twitter thing, being able to argue this stuff and have a forum and free speech, you know, it's not going to be done by these guys in charge now. I guarantee you that. And I'm like, does it have to be Twitter? Who gives a crap? Has it got that special a name?
Are you on Twitter?
You can't do – I'm not on it. I mean, I got the account and Donna social media. I never even look at it because I don't social media. You know, I just don't. I mean, the only one that I spend any time on
Telegram, right?
Telegram. And, you know, so Telegram does a pretty good job for what I want to do, but I'm looking for totally new communities, much smaller. Everybody's wanting to cast this big, giant net of billions of people, and how many millions can I get to subscribe to my whatever, where I'm just wanting to have an impact on those I can have an impact on, my community, my family, my friends, my listeners, whatever. But I'm looking to spark inspiration for other people. And I wanted to talk before we ran out of time, or spend a lot of time on this, is the economy is going much faster. It's going to go, you know, all of a sudden it's Monday, you know, overnight. This is going to happen. And people are starting to see, like we've been screaming about, it's a food thing. So I'm wondering, you know, what you're thinking is going to be the end game with this war. Because Putin's not going to do what they want him to do. Mm. What they want to do is have an actual drawn-out war. They need a mushroom cloud. They're going to. So I'm just, once that happens, it's game over. They have no legitimacy anymore. They didn't stop a war. They created one. And then where do we go? And we got
would that lose them credibility in their supporters' minds?
I don't know.
I don't think so. It all depends on the way it's framed. But here's my question to the, Putin's such a 5D chess master wizard who's, you know, totally taken it to the globalists. What actually is the end game for Russia in this? What, the whole point of the operation was to denazify Ukraine, right? Have they done that? Was that why they went and encircled Kiev for weeks and then withdrew? And like,
they did want Finland
what is the point
and Sweden
of any of this?
NATO,
what,
I know
what
that.
Point is Putin going to be able to sit and say, yes, mission accomplished. We got what we wanted in Ukraine. Like, I don't understand even how it could possibly work out in Russia's favor, assuming Russia is trying to do what everyone thinks Russia is trying to do. I don't get it at all. But you're exactly right. I think certainly what the NATO Western side wants is a long, drawn-out, you know, Afghanistan 2.0, as has been literally called for by various stooges in the U.S. Foreign policy field. So, you know, I don't see how we get out of that at this point. But at any rate, the real mission accomplished is Ukraine is now going to something like 1/3 of their grain productivity is going to be reduced as a result of this. They're not, even if they're able to grow it, which they probably won't, they're not going to be able to ship it and ship it out because of the infrastructure that's been demolished. So it's baked into the cake now. Food shortages, food supply crisis.
They're going to plant it. They got to plant now. You know, this is what's going on.
I was just reading the state of Georgia has declared an emergency because of the supply chain crisis.
U.S. state of Georgia?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Apparently an executive order that gives the this governor some sort of like power to declare whatever he wants. I better look that up so that I'm not just talking out the side of my mouth. Georgia declares a state of emergency over supply chain shortages, blah, blah, blah. Republican Brian Kemp decreed this executive order on April 14th, stating that COVID was the reason for all economic distress and supply chain issues within the state of Georgia. Kemp locked down Georgia at the beginning of November 2020, blah, blah, blah. As he cites within the order, Code Section 38-2-28 says that all orders, rules, and regulations promulgated by the governor have the force and effect of law. This gives the appearance that Georgia is no longer ruled by law, but instead by decree.
Yeah, that's what they want. That's one of the things that they give themselves these powers and they never go away. I've been hearing a whole lot of governor powers going away. Have you?
Oh, yeah. Don't worry, guys. We're totally giving all these powers back once the emergency has ended. Just like passports were a temporary World War One.
Okay, let's do this because there's so much news. We'll just do this. Okay. DOJ to appeal mask ruling after CDC request. So they're just going to keep dragging this out. Now, are you going
to ask what level, what court ruled on that? What level was that?
It was a Trump appointee at a U.S. district level out of Florida, I think, or something. It was a federal district court, I think.
Right.
You know?
Okay. But, so it's not Supreme Court level yet.
No. It wasn't Supreme Court. So then, of course, they're going to keep dragging it out and dragging it out. And I'm not sure to what benefit. You know, why would they want to keep the mask on? Everybody's all pissed off. Now
I don't know if it's about keeping the mask on. It's about the power for the CDC to be able to declare. I mean, that's what they want. They want the power there, the infrastructure for the biosecurity.
So this
state.
Is an overreach of executive branch. And they say,
yeah,
no,
they
you
want
can't.
To be all able right. to declare this anytime they say, oh, someone's got a sniffle
and
a piece
of
protest.
Got it. Well, I'm glad there's some pushback. Okay, Washington State buckles to parental pressure, drops COVID vax requirement for school. All right, cool. Better than not. AstraZeneca CEO, millions of immunocompromised people can't be vaccinated. Now, of course, I've been seeing this a lot of places because here you got a CEO of a pharma coming up and saying, well, there's a lot of people that shouldn't get, aha, you know, see, we told you, but, you know, where that'll go.
That was 2 years ago. The science has changed.
Okay, ex-BlackRock manager. I watched some of this. Ex-BlackRock manager Edward Dowd says Wall Street now paying attention to trust the science, which is blah, blah, blah. This was Naomi Wolf interviewed. And I'm glad to see her starting to wake up and seeing how bad this is.
She's been starting to wake up for 15 years, though.
Yeah, but
remember, it was like Bush Obama time when she was coming out with the stages towards martial law and all this, and she's starting to talk to libertarians and stuff.
Signs of fascism or something like
that. Yeah, right.
We had interviewed her, and in fact, I introduced her as a speaker at the Levolution March in Washington, D.C. And we've had her on the show before, on Charles's show, and she, you know, did right before she went up, she said, "You libertarians were right." And I'm like, you know, of course, I'm like, want to interview her about which thing, you know. But she was still looking at government being a good actor for the left. And I think she's now coming to the realization that collective power is always a bad thing, you know, and she's starting to come to terms with that. I don't think she's going to get away from they're just all bad all the time. You know, so that's what I'm watching her do.
It's a step in the right direction. Right. But anyway, I don't know about this interview. I haven't seen it. What specifically does this Dowd guy say?
You know, I don't remember. It was they were just ouch quit. They didn't really get, you know, super. You know, we can just watch, you know, 10 seconds of it because it was interesting. And she was interrupting a lot. She was worse than me at the time. Anyway, as we get this, all right, here we go.
Who are going to be so litigious. A lot of them have money. why would the Democrats burn up all this political capital? Why are they pursuing this till it's dead, right? Instead of backing away from it. As a political strategist, a political consultant, I don't understand her reasoning at this point.
Well, you know, it's the criminal mind. When you're caught, you just keep tripling down because you got to pretend that everything's fine and hope for the best that, you know, some other distraction comes.
I think they were talking about Psaki and with Biden, what she's having to make excuses for him and so on. About 30% of COVID-19 patients suffer from long COVID. Now, this is something I've been hearing a lot more of late. A lot of people, they get it and then they never kick it. You know, it's just something that's dragging on and dragging on. And one of the things that has really come out of this is our birth rate. You know, there's some fertility thing going on.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so what do you
Not only did
that?
Japan just shrink by the most in recorded since they started keeping records, but also China is still plummeting its birth rate right now.
Yeah, this is, you know, we're at non-replacement levels. It's going to be, I don't know how they're going to argue this. And you have the birth rate with the vaccines and correlated with a bunch of other stuff. I'm thinking this is intentional.
It certainly seems to be. Even if it isn't, it's certainly in line with the long-term plan. Depopulation is on the cards, and it's going to happen, you know, if they get their way.
Okay, the Durham trial begins, all right? Well, I don't think it's actually begun, but they were talking about, you know, they got like five Clinton attorneys and advisors taking the Fifth, and nobody wants to talk about this or that. Anyway, so Clinton's got a bunch of guilt in her eyes on all this. So do you think Durham's going to actually come out with anything?
Who?
Right.
Ask me how much I know or have been following
Durham,
this trial.
The special prosecutor that was done to, you know, check on Hillary's
because
emails.
Because one puppet is warring with another puppet in the deep state? I don't care.
Netflix gets woke, goes broke. Stock drops nearly 30% in major collapse. Now, this is something, yeah, it was like a couple hundred points. I mean, Netflix is taking a dump because people are unsubscribing like crazy, which we did like a year ago. It was, and the complaint was, you know, I was looking at this story and it said people complain there's nothing on. And they are right. I mean, you'll have hundreds of trans, whatever the hell, and how many rainbows that they can have for the little kids of Teletubbies. But it is just worthless television. So
Yes, but on the Get Woke, Go Broke meme, you should see my recent conversation I had on the Year Zero podcast talking about ESG. And the post there made a good point, is that this Get Woke, Go Broke thing misses the point completely. Because this, what the ESG thing, the corporate social credit score, essentially is about hardwiring in that it isn't about the bottom line anymore. It's not about profits. It's not about giving value to shareholders. It is about towing whatever agenda that is being sold by the establishment at this point. And that is part of it. So I don't think Netflix is ultimately going to care as long as they're getting the money from, say, BlackRock. And they won't get that money from BlackRock if they're not pushing the agenda.
Okay, this is something we can spend some time on because a lot of these stories kind of follow this line. What's the real value in them taking these positions? You know, because I remember, you know, newspapers get bought up by Gannett, it got bought up by, and sooner or later, you're up and the parent company is General Electric, and they're looking to start another war, and they need Gannett to, you know, put the headlines in the newspaper, in the magazine, and on the TV, and the local community of, we lost money, but we made it up on the back end with all them missiles that we sold, you know? Then you had the Pentagon inviting, you know, like, I got at least five of the main military contractors to Ukraine to sit there with them. How can we get you whatever and spend money? And we need to, you know, something. I don't see their mission as necessarily to make money on each of these individual media outlets. They're there to get to the big money, you know, to get you all woke or, you know, supportive of something. So how do you get a, you know, buy trans, you know, 23-year-old to vote for war and Biden? You make him part of the buy 23-year-old support team of whatever the hell. I mean, there's something else.
No, you're exactly right. Yeah. Media, going back to the old press barons in the old day, you didn't own media. Well, you could own media to be rich, but that wasn't why you owned media. You owned media for the power that it gives you to set a public conversation. And so that's, I think, I mean, that's why Bezos buys the Washington Post or what have you. It's because it is a convenient platform to get your particular agenda out there, and no different in the current operating paradigm with the streaming services and all of that. Again, money loss, who cares, as long as we're getting our propaganda out to the people. And why and how does that actually work? Let's look at a specific case example. Look at Black Lives Matter and how that was pushed through the corporatocracy and whatever, Nike and whoever else was lining up to, you know, hey, we stand with you guys, Black Lives Matter.
Why were
they doing that? It clearly wasn't to increase their bottom line. Like, oh, we got so much business.
They got
that.
The memo.
It was because you will note that there hasn't been trumpeting of Black Lives Matter in the past 2 years. Why not? It's because as soon as they started saying, hey, guys, well, you know, Black people don't trust the government and their experimental medical injections. And we have a bad history with that and all that. You'll notice that doesn't get reported. They don't put that on the front page. Again, it's because it's self-evidently. It's not about any sort of deep concern about Black people or their thoughts or opinions. They were a convenient political mouthpiece in the time of Trump to foster the culture war. And now that that isn't the way they want to foster the culture war, because they're saying the wrong things, they'll drop them. That doesn't mean that Black Lives Matter was a 100% controlled puppeteered organization. It's that, no, this was a movement that they could latch onto and trumpet for their particular political purposes while it lasted. And as soon as you say something they don't want, you're yesterday's news. And that's exactly how this works. With the trans stuff, I think not just where is this going in the next year or two, where is this going in 10 or 20 years? And I do see it as the thin edge of the wedge of the transhuman agenda. That is where this is ultimately going. And if you break down all categories and all distinctions, and your identity can be anything, as even the Canadian government said in their own white paper on exploring biodigital convergence from a year, or maybe it's 2 years ago now, they said that part of this merging of the synthetic and biological, organic and computers and all of this coming together is going to break down the ideology, the philosophy of vitalism. What is vitalism? Vitalism is the idea that there is something inherently different about life, organic life, and non-organic matter. There is some inherent essential difference. They're saying that's going to be scrap. That's going to be such an outdated idea once we start having these, you know, sentient robots and whatever else, and you start putting brain chips in your head. What's live? What's dead? Inorganic? Yeah, it's all the same.
Well, the same argument that they have for, unvaccinated semen, cash only, inquire we it within kind of thing. You know, there's going to be a value of not being digitally chipped. There's going to be a pure human kind of thing. There's going to be, you know, and I'm hopeful that that argument is going to hold up over time. It's like, hey, man, I didn't do it, you know. And but there's so much that we're linked into. I'm really interested to see. I always thought I was born at the right time. You know, I grew up, you know, with the beginning of the space race. I grew up when the most sophisticated thing in your car was an AM radio and the spark plug. I mean, you know, I grew up when, you know, all kinds of this stuff, you saw it coming, and the promise that they gave my generation of how we were going to live. That capability of abundance is there. Not for you, you know, it's for they, right. Them, those, and you're not. Yeah. And if you want it, all you got to do is sign here and totally agree. So then you get into things like, here, I'll show you my, here's my Brax 2 phone, okay? I got it's a D-Google, super great, wonderful, his own operating system phone. And and it's a really nice phone, and it was fairly inexpensive, you know, and it's got the whippy-dippies and all that kind of stuff. But you can't do anything with it that you're traditionally, you know, would think that you would want to do. Now, you can put it up to two SIM cards in here and have two different services if you want. You have a bunch of extended memory. You can do that. But the big thing on this, it's de-Googled. You're not going to Facebook. You're not loading up Twitter. You're not going to Google. You have to find alternatives to everything, of which there are. There's
A bit. F-Droid or whatever.
There's a lot of the different apps on these different platforms that you can get in marketplaces like F-Droid.
Right.
But the big thing is that if they'd had any of these services that replace, like, you know, maps on Google and GPS this or, you know, some help, whatever communication thing there, we would have been ecstatic. You know, 5 years ago, oh, my God, man, this is awesome. But we've been trading off our privacy and our security for convenience. And I'm not seeing that really change other than we're coming to the awareness that it should change.
Yeah, hopefully.
Well, that's, you know, that's been the one thing that I've that's what I keep looking for. That's what I've always been looking for. I was trying to inspire people, just have a different opinion about this stuff. And when I start seeing it everywhere and push back on COVID and to push back on the mandates and to push back on the politics and to push back on living circumstances and food growing and additives and regulatory agencies, the push back, that is what I've been waiting on.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm caught between the optimism of looking and seeing in this independent media space and all these people doing all this awesome stuff and getting it and understanding why we need to do it. And then you look at sort of the average person on the street and what they're doing, and it's like they don't get it at all. They don't see it. They don't know what's going on. There are two worlds that have formed. And you can be optimistic about this world and utterly pessimistic about that one.
Well, this is a suboptimism, pessimism story right here. Things are bad now, but you ain't seen nothing yet. And the point that he was making is food right now is pretty cheap. I mean, you know, of course, it's going up, and it's up 15% here and 20% there.
Yeah.
But in the scope of things,
we will look back at this as the good old days.
Exactly. So, you know, we're like going, you know, now's the time to, I mean, you know, it's never too late, but I mean, now, freaking now. I'm telling everybody, man, get, that's why I bought my energy, I bought my this, I bought my that, homie's going to be fine, okay? But, you know, so I'm just going, now. And then when you look at oil from Biden's emergency strategic reserve, petroleum reserves release is heading for Europe. So now, to try and lower the price of fuel, they released, United States government buys, you know, puts in stores and butt tone
180 million barrels.
Yeah.
There you go.
And then they released it from, you know, our strategic reserve, which I remember that was put up in the, God, was that Reagan or something? I don't remember. But what happened is they release it to try and bring the prices down, but it didn't go to us. It went to Europe.
Nah.
And I'm going, well, that's not worth votes. These guys are not.
Yeah. I thought the whole point was that this is going to end right before the midterms, isn't it?
They're not acting. And then, of course, this story right here, Monopoly on Your Mind, six companies control 90% of what you read, watch, and hear. So I'm getting the impression that these guys aren't running for a reelection. They're not running for later. They're not, you know, seeking the approval of the people. They're just doing whatever it is they want to do. To what end? What do you think is coming?
I mean, in what term, on what project?
I don't know.
With the Ukraine crisis, I really do think that this is their new attempt. They really do want this to drag out as long as possible. And I think they fully are aware, 100%, that that affects supply chains, the food supply first and foremost, and absolutely will cause economic hardship. And I think you're right. I don't think at the end of the day, this ain't about winning votes. I don't think they're so concerned about that because they believe they have the monopoly over 90% of what people see, read, and hear. So they're going to spin it whatever way they want. And, oh, this is Putin's inflation. He's the one that did this, I tell you. So
yeah, they keep trying. But what is that's the, not flush.
I mean, let's put it this way. Let's put it into the big perspective. What is the real aim of this? It's the Great Reset, if you want to use that particular branding on it. It is for the CBDC. It is for the control. It is for the vaccine passports. That is where this is heading. And all these things are just steps. And it's what you always quote from that David Icke thing. You know, as long as you know the journey, or as long as you know the destination, you know where the journey is going, or whatever.
See the journey, yeah. You know, latest summit that they just had, and Klaus is up there, you know, doing the have a great, you know, summit and go kick ass and we'll be in charge of everybody. Do you pay attention to that? Did you see anything that came out of that? That just more advocacy for more control? I don't even pay attention anymore.
Sorry, which summit?
The World Economic Forum had some summit that a bunch of the boys were, he was speaking at here in the last week or so.
I didn't even hear about that one.
Yeah, well, whatever the hell it was. We'll probably come across it here. Dr. Vernon Coleman, you know, is a world's leading authority on prescription drug side effects. And his books have been translated into 26 languages in 50 countries. And he's all over social media where he got banned because he was saying, we got 8 months. He goes, all this stuff, within a year, people are going to be dropping like flies and they're going to be trying to, you know, they're setting us up for a die-off saying that we need more drugs. We need another vaccine when it's the vaccines doing it. And I'm wondering, you know, this is good that he's being able to bypass the censorship and you get alternative media. And then what is alternative media anymore? How do you determine what an alternative to the narrative is? And so I'm glad to see that these guys are getting out. Is he accurate? Is it true? I don't know, but at least we're able to discuss it and have platforms for doing it. And the same thing is going on with the war. So I got, BS and censorship on COVID, BS and censorship on the war. It's all the same thing.
Yep.
I keep focusing on
Georgia declares a state of emergency. There you go. You got it up on the site.
Let's see. Oversupply. It declared a state of emergency to help them combat supply chain. It is the first domino to fall. Whatever. Oh. And so
whatever. Good. Anyway, on that note, I got to go.
Sold is bad for me again. I knew I just had to wait. Then it's up and down. It's up and down. It's up and down. I just slid in coming over from Mike's. We didn't get to talk a lot about the prepping stuff that we're doing. We have this event this weekend. We can talk about that next week. Then we'll go to Float Fest.
Well, actually, on that note, you will notice that I have been posting very little to the site lately. And that is, of course, on purpose. I am going into monk mode. We're one third of the way through the year now. And I have barely even started on any of my long-term projects that I'm going to do this year. Right. So I'm going into monk mode. I am going to be releasing one or two things a week instead of five or six or seven things a week. And I am going to be doing less interviews. So on that note, I think we're going to be doing this every other week instead of every week.
Yeah, that's good. That's fine. Well, that'll get us to after MidFest and FloatFest. And we can talk because there's a lot of things that's going to happen.
We'll get the data dump.
Yeah, because we need there's a lot of things coming. Yeah, I'm looking to spend some more time on a bigger project I want to do. I'm very glad that other people are doing stuff, but there's some things just missing. I'm not getting a lot of the things that, the solution street doing, preparing for yourself kind of thing. Like we hear, hey man, food's cheap now compared to what it's going to be. And I'm always about the food thing. So we got to start doing stuff in our circumstances to try and inspire because we need to do it. And I want to make sure the other people got it, taken care of. Hey man, thanks for coming on. I appreciate it. And we'll do 2 weeks from now.
Yes. I'll confirm that with Donna, but yeah.
All right, cool. Peace, brother. Talk to you there.
Awesome. Take care, man. Bye. Bye-bye.